Yes, suppose what is to heaven that couldn't find one worthy to be. Yes, suppose sacrifice that was needed.
Hallelujah.
Oh, to my eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged, cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, oh, and forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad he was willing to take that bread up. Will we pray, Father, let it pass for me.
Let it pass for me, Lord.
I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. Take a dust from his hands and set me. Aren't you glad tonight? Oh, had it not been for a place for Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged, for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be. Had it not been, had it not been for a man called Mount Calvary. I'm not afraid to die.
I have learned to trust him so, and I remember
twice for me
that he was slain on Calvary.
Will you lead me, Jesus shall lead me, light and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way.
Says in that song, it says, trusting that I someday will see Jesus, my friend of Calvary. You know, the prophet, when he was young, he used to hear the voice of the angel of the Lord. And then one day he saw him. But when he saw him and the angel started to speak, he knew, this is the one that always spoke to me. That's what it's going to be like us with Jesus. You and I think when we see him first time, we're going to be like, friends, we know him already. He's spoken to us already. He's fellowshiped to us already. And when we get there that day and we start to have communion with him, we're going to say, "Ah, Lord, you are the one that always had communion with me along the way. And whenever I was low, you picked me up." That voice, because he says, "My sheep hear my voice." A strange. So we're already, although we haven't seen him with our physical eye, but our spiritual eyes have seen him already. You know, and that's the blessing of the believer. I really want to welcome back those saints that were away on holiday. Brother Francois is back. God bless you and his family. Is Sister Julie in the building? Yes, Sister. God bless you. Sister's back from the sunshine. Back to the Irish weather. God bless you, sister. It's nice to have you back. Have a prayer request here for Brother Mike, Sister Patience. They can't make it because they're at work. And also Sister Dube, she is at work and can't make it tonight. So we'll remember them. Let's open Exodus chapter 12. We'll read from verse 11. Real familiar scripture. Exodus 12:11, read to 13. And thus shall you eat it, that's eating of the lamb, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. That's an amazing thing. The Lord says, when I come, the reason I'm coming down, the reason I'm hiding my people away, is it's time now for me to judge all of the gods of Egypt. He says in that verse, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token. So there's always mercy and judgment. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's also read Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When Paul is speaking of separation, you know, he's just contrasting different things here. And he says it in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Father, we remember before thee, Lord, upon this day, our precious brothers and sisters that can't make it tonight. Please, Lord, be with them. Have communion with them, we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. You brought them safely back. Father, bless them, we ask. Father, we thank you that you've given us a chance once again to gather in your house. Father, we thirsty for fellowship with you. We've come into this place because, Lord, this world and communion with this world, it doesn't satisfy us, Lord. And Father, we don't want the things that are there. And Father, we only find ourselves in thee. So, Lord, you want to hide ourselves away this day. Draw nigh unto us, break unto us the bread of life. Father, usher us once again into the tree of life upon this evening, Lord, and cover us in your blood and hide us away for your glory, we ask. May you bless us as we come to communion. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. Just going to read a quote from the token message on page 2526. Just trying to speak, the prophet here is speaking about why did the message come? And I think sometimes it's a good thing for us to remember. When we have communion, when we come to church, we desire to have fellowship and communion with the Lord. When you are at home, when you have fellowship and communion amongst one another as believers, you know, there's a purpose for this communion. Now, this communion that the Lord has opened up to us, it's for a very specific purpose. You know, we don't realize it sometimes. Sometimes we get used to things. We get used to the message. We get used to the prophet. We get used to the picture of the pillar of fire. We get used to the picture of the cloud. Now we get used to these things until sometimes we can forget, why did the Lord send these things? What is the Lord doing? What do these things really mean? Now the prophet in the token message, he says that this is in paragraph 183. He says, he's speaking about when Moses came and there was the plagues and so forth, and then the saints had to go into Goshen, and then the Passover lamb had to have the blood shed and had to apply the blood on the lintels and on the doorposts. He says, when you see such things taking place, it's a sign of an oncoming judgment. He says, judgment will follow those things. It's always done it. And this won't be no exception. So when we see the pillar of fire coming down, whenever the Lord comes down himself, the prophet preaches a message, a true sign that's overlooked. And he said, a prophet is a judgment sign. You don't realize it, but when God comes down and God comes and sends a prophet, friends, it means that something's happened in the dimensions on earth. It means the world has entered into a certain dimension which is going to lead them to judgment. Just like when the Lord said in Malachi at the end when he says, I'll send you Elijah the prophet lest I smite the earth with a curse. You know, when the world starts breaking through into a certain realm, when iniquity, when the cup of iniquity reaches a certain place, when the world in its music and its films and its politics and its religion gets anointed so much by the deception of the devil, when Satan so much has access to the souls of men and women, it's like when hell opens up its gates and something is released and people yield themselves and have a certain type of fellowship and communion with the realms of darkness, the realms of evil that generations before never had that extent of fellowship and communion with evil. And the world is coming to a stage because of the communion it's having, because of the dimension that they're moving themselves. Remember, the prophet says, all you can do is yield yourself to an anointing. And whatever anointing you yield yourself to, it's going to take you into a certain dimension. And when you find the world just giving itself so completely over to everything that is opposed to God, God sends a prophet. Because when that dimension of hell, of darkness is overflowing the earth now, God has to open a dimension as well for his people. And that's what a prophet is. A prophet comes down. When the pillar of fire comes down, that's the seventh seal. That's opening a seal, a dimension. God is opening a realm to his people. And God doesn't come and open that realm for nothing, friends. He comes and opens that realm because his people need that realm. He needs to hide his people away. He needs a Goshen. He needs a place that he's going to minister his people to, because the sins and iniquities of Egypt, because of the people and the worship of the gods of Egypt, it's come to a place for him to remain God. He has to execute judgment upon the gods of Egypt. There comes a certain place where God cannot stay silent. The prophet says otherwise he'll have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to it. You know, and friends, I think we need to realize that. You know, I was watching something the other day and the man was speaking again about, you know, when you put the frog in the saucepan of water. Now, when you throw the frog into a pan of water, a pot of water, and it's boiling hot, it's going to jump straight out. But you put it in and then you heat it up slowly, slowly, slowly. That frog keeps swimming around until it boils to death. And that is what's happened in our age. No, this iniquity, this, you know, like hell has been just opening itself up. And there's been all of these instruments of hell. The prophet speaks of Elvis Presley, speaks of the Beatles, speaks of Hollywood, he speaks of all of these vessels that have so yielded themselves to this anointing of hell that it's bringing the world to a climax, the prophet says. Now sin is reaching a certain point that it hasn't ever reached before since the days that the Bible speaks about it. And when God sees that dimension overflowing the earth, he knows the power of influence, he knows the seducing power of sin. He knows just how seductive sin can be. So God has to open a dimension to his people as well. And friends, that's why he sends a prophet. And that's why he sends a message, because that is God's provided way to minister his people to the place of safety. But the people have to realize that and respond. And that is why when there's judgments in the earth, he brings the token. Now he'll always respond when the enemy comes in like a flood. And it looks like everything's going to be swept by the enemy. Because if you read Revelation 13, it says the whole world will worship the beast. And it's, the worshiping the beast doesn't mean everyone's going to bow down to the Pope. You know, it's not that, it's the system of the beast. The prophet speaks the last beast. He says that final beast, which is the pale horse. He says, you know, when it speaks of it in Revelation 17, he says there's a woman riding the beast. He says that woman is the Roman Catholic Church. She's guiding the beast. But this beast is political power. It's demon power. It's all of these different realms have come together and hell has come forth in such a powerful anointing that God knows that, hey, my sons and my daughters, they can't get caught up in this. So God ministers grace now. And God himself comes down. And when he comes down, he knows he needs to separate his people. He needs a place. In Egypt, it was a physical place. It was Goshen. He made a physical place for his people. And he said to his people, you dwell here. You fellowship here. This is where you eat the lamb. This is where you apply the blood. This is where you raise your children from this place. Be careful of this Egypt. Don't go and play with this Egypt, because any day now I'm coming to judge, execute judgment upon the gods of Egypt. Because it's a spiritual condition that's come. So the prophet says, judgment follows grace. When mercy is spurned, there's nothing left but judgment. So it will always follow it. Now let's think of that in Egypt. What was the offer of mercy to Egypt? It was a prophet with a pillar of fire. In the end time of Egypt, it was a prophet coming vindicated by a pillar of fire. And God so vindicated that prophet that when he spoke, plagues came, judgments came forth. Yeah, and those judgments, people look at it, the unbeliever, and says, how can God smite the men, women, and children of Egypt? It was mercy as well. Because God was warning them, leave your gods. He was showing them the futility of their gods. The God of the Nile. They used to worship the God of the Nile. So God turns the waters to blood. They used to worship all the cattle of the field. So God smites the cattle with a plague. And everything which they worship the sun. So God turned dark for several days. So God was trying to show to them, I am God. This is the devil. You're worshiping the devil. This is a system which is going to bring judgment upon yourselves. But friends, you know how seductive the enemy is, how he likes to seduce people. And that's why God has to send a prophet. God has to come and, you know, cry out against a generation. To say, be careful what you have in communion with. Because there comes a certain time that you can't afford to have communion with Egypt. Because you can't have communion with both Christ and Belial at the same time, Paul says. You can't have communion with light and darkness. And friends, the closer and closer it gets to the end, the more and more you and I are going to see, we've got to totally separate ourselves from these things. God has given us a place of communion. He's given us brothers and sisters to commune with. He's given us the message of the hour. That's God's provided communion bread for us. And friends, we need to separate from all else. Not to say you don't have friends in the world and testify. Obviously we do. Be nice to your neighbors. I'm not saying that. But to make alliances, to be unequally yoked, to spend so much time that you fellowship in communion with darkness, being influenced by the deeds of darkness. Friends, when you find God sending a prophet, and you see the pillar of fire himself coming down, it's a serious hour that you're living in. Because God didn't do it in the days of Luther. There was mighty opposition in the days of Luther. There was Rome and, you know, the Holy Roman Empire and all of that. God never sent the pillar of fire then. They didn't need the pillar of fire. In the days of Wesley, when there was all the opposition and all that, God never sent the pillar of fire. But in our day, he sent the pillar of fire. He himself has come down like he did in the first Exodus. And it shows it's a time that you want to stay in Goshen. You want to get to Goshen and you want to stay in Goshen. And when you're in Goshen, you want to make sure the blood is fresh on the door. Because the only thing that withstands the judgment of the gods of Egypt is the token itself. Friends, there was nothing in any man, not even Moses himself as a man, that could withstand the judgment in that day. It doesn't matter if you were circumcised, doesn't matter how faithful you were paying your tithes, doesn't matter what you did faithful, there was nothing in your own human ability, your own human sincerity, that was going to equip you to overcome the judgments of the gods of Egypt in that day, the death angel when it came. There was only one thing that could withstand death, only one thing, and that was what God had provided, which was the life of the Lamb. It was only the life of the Lamb. In evening time, the token came into existence. God gave access to his people for the first time, for all those hundreds of years, to the life of the Lamb. And he says, take this blood, apply it to the door. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's the only thing that's going to stand in our homes, friends. If you don't want our children to be overtaken by Sodom, if you don't want our children to be overtaken by Egypt and worshipping the gods and idols of Egypt, the gods of Hollywood, the musicians, the film stars, all of these idols of Egypt, there's only one thing that's going to keep them, is the blood, is the life of the Lamb himself. The life of the Lamb has got to be on display in our homes. It's got to be real in our fellowship. It's got to be real in our communion, because the only thing to withstand the last plague, spiritual death, the prophet said, is the blood on the door, is the life of the Lamb himself. And friends, it's nothing else. The prophet says it's not enough just to believe the message. He says that's just being able to read. You might say, I believe everything that you said, brother. And he says, that's just being able to read. He says, that's good. But that's not enough. Because there's a certain anointing in the message, which is the token anointing. There's a certain life that's inside of the message, which God has anointed the message with. And friends, that's what we need to commune with. That's what we need to fellowship with, because that's what anoints and empowers and quickens us to overcome this spiritual darkness, this spiritual evil that has been unleashed in this age. And friends, we're living in a serious hour. You'd find the prophet in 1953 crying out, saying, this is a serious hour. Because he could see in that spiritual realm. He could see maybe things in the infancy, but he saw what the harvest was going to be of this iniquity, or of the seeds of iniquity of Hollywood, the seeds of iniquity of that rock and roll music from those ages. He said, it's going to bring them to Armageddon. This is this rock and roll music, this anointing is going to bring them to the final judgment. When God comes down in the valley of Jehoshaphat, in the valley of decision, and he comes and he judges the nations of the earth. And the prophet, being a prophet, he already broke into that other dimension, the seventh seal dimension. No, he knew the mind of Christ. He knew exactly the age and the perilous times, like Paul said. And friends, sometimes we don't fellowship close enough with the message. We don't fellowship when we are amongst ourselves, have that kind of a communion. Because when they fellowshiped around the message in Exodus 12, what did it say? Keep your loins girded. It kept them in a condition they were ready for the Exodus. You know, they were ready, they were waiting, they had everything ready. They were just saying, anytime now we're going. Anytime now the judgment's going to fall. And how many times did the prophet tell us the judgments of God are already in the earth? And that was in the 60s. He was speaking about the judgments of God in the earth, friends. We're living in a serious time. That's why it says in the next paragraph, he says, notice the scene. Every spiritual happening is a sign from God. It's a sign from God. It's a signal. No, he's trying to tell us something when he does something spiritually. When the pillar of fire comes down, every time we look at that picture of the pillar of fire, every time we see the supreme judge, the white-wigged supreme authority, Christ himself, wigged, what should it speak to us, friends? That this world's days are numbered. And that this world is not our home. And that this world isn't a place that you want to be fellowshipping in. And this dimension of the world, we don't want our children to grow up getting used to these gods of Egypt and getting used to this atmosphere of this world. Because it's a poisonous atmosphere, friends. Let's not be like the frogs, that we just get used to it. And then we ask some of the young people in Sunday school when they have the referendum about marriage, and some of our youth think there's nothing wrong with a man marrying a man. It's a serious thing, friends. It's not the fault of that young person. That person's been conditioned by the gods of Egypt. They've been too much exposed to this atmosphere that's going to bring God's judgment down upon the world. It's a serious hour that we're living in, friends. That's what he's saying. He says, be careful. Notice. Watch every spiritual happening. Everything that happens is a sign. We're not here by accident. Friends, we're not here tonight by accident. We're not in this message by accident. This was the greatest thing that God could do for you and for me, was opening this dimension to us of the message of the hour. We're not here by accident. And that's how sometimes we have our little differences among each other. Let's forget about those things. There's far greater things that God has united us around. We're not here by accident, friends. The prophet says, these things just don't happen by accident. The pillar of fire didn't come in our generation by accident. He didn't have his photo taken with the prophet by accident. The cloud didn't come down at the opening of the seals by accident. It was a spiritual sign. It was God doing something for his sons and his daughters. It was God making a provision that you and I are going to need more and more as we get closer and closer to the end. That's what it is. He says, don't just happen by accident. It's a sign. It's a sign to get to safety quickly. Amen. Friends, we have Hoffman's Head of Christ just by our door when we walk out of our door. We can get so used to it. Would it not be better if whenever you see Hoffman's Head of Christ, whenever we see the purifier picture, we could shake ourselves before we leave the door and say, Lord, let me not forget what these things mean. Let me not get deceived, a deceived church by the world. When the prophet speaks of Delilah, speaking of the world system, enticing God's son, Samson, to fall asleep until he lost his power. Until he couldn't overcome the very thing that he was raised up to overcome. Because he was having fellowship communion. You can't have fellowship light and darkness. You can't have communion with Christ and Belial. There's certain seasons you need to realize the peril of the hour. You need to realize the seriousness of the hour. But Samson didn't realize the seriousness of the hour. He didn't know that his commission, his calling was at stake. And he got wooed. And the prophet preaches it in the message, a deceived church by the world. And friends, I don't want to be a deceived person by the world. When God has given us such a raised standard, has given us such an anointed voice that cries out against these gods of Egypt in the message of the hour. Friends, we need to be fellowshipping and communing around these things that keep it real to us so that we can keep our loins girded, so that we keep our staff next to us, so that we realize, hey friends, if it's going to take another 5 years, 10, whatever it's going to be, but you want to be ready at that time. Because these things are a sign. The prophet says Noah was a sign to his generation. Elijah was a sign to his. John was a sign to his. Everything. The message of the hour is a sign. What? Look what it's doing. It's a sign. Everything has a meaning. And at no other time could this type of message ever happen. Why? Because God himself only comes down when the cup of iniquity is filled up to the brim. When the world gets like Sodom. When the world gets like it was in Egypt. When the world gets like it was in the days of Noah. Those are the times that God comes down. God himself comes down. The great shepherd of your soul and mine himself comes down. Because he knows it doesn't just need a reformer. It needs he himself. It needs, thus saith the Lord, in those kind of times, to usher his people safely home in an exodus. And that's why he himself comes down. The prophet says it couldn't have come in Luther's day or Wesley's day or the Pentecostal day. It couldn't have been. No such thing happened. And yet, we were promised it in the Bible. All we see now in this message was promised in the scriptures. It's foreshadowed in all the shadows and the types. We're living in the consummation of the ages. The prophet says, we're at the end. Nothing could happen. It couldn't have happened till this time. And it's happening for a sign. I wonder what that sign is. We don't need to wonder what that sign is. We know what that sign is. Listen what the prophet says in God of this Evil Age. He says, what is it? This is right near the end of his ministry. When he starts preaching on the plagues and the vials in those messages right at the end. He says the world is heading to a climax. So why? The spirit of lawlessness, moral decay, scientific religion has led it to the cage of every hateful and unclean bird. Now friends, there was only one man in this age qualified to tell us what was happening in the spiritual world. And that was the prophet. Because God vindicated him 10,000 times 10,000. When he would stand before the great crowds of people and he would break through the vision of the flesh, break through the vision of what can be seen, and God would make bare to him the unseen. And he would see the demons crying to each other. He would see the spiritual forces of darkness. He would see what they were doing. So that's the only man I would say that God has vindicated. Why did God allow those things to happen? To try to show us this man knows what's happening in the supernatural realm. When this man speaks of what's happening in the supernatural realm, listen to what he's saying, because he's not learning it from some other man. He's a special, built, special, qualified vessel that I've made him in a special way so that he has this gift in him, this ability to break through, to see things that you and I can't see. Amen. So when the prophet now starts telling us about what's happening in this Babylon that's all around us, and telling us we've come to Revelations 18:1-5, that's what he says. As the Bible said, Revelations 18:1-5, we should pay attention to that. Let's look at that, Revelations 18:1-5. The prophet is showing it the message of the hour. But look at the conditions. And I think sometimes, friends, and the reason I'm saying this, I wanted maybe to finish on something tomorrow, just laying a basis to today, is sometimes we don't realize what's happening in the spiritual world, both in the line of the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of darkness. We can get so caught up in work and college and the pressures and busyness of this life that we get numbed, that we don't recognize what really is happening. If only if God could just open our eyes like Gehazi, remember when he couldn't see. When Elisha said to him, there's more with us than there are with them. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw what was happening in that spiritual realm. Friends, maybe we don't need that because we've already had a prophet who's come and told us what's happening in the spiritual realm. He's told us about these demons that have been released at the river Euphrates. This multitude of spiritual darkness. You go and read. He preaches it in the message, Oncoming Storm. And he says, if you only knew the oncoming storm that's coming upon this earth. He says, before you sleep tonight, go and read Revelations 8. And in Revelations 8, we see the bottomless pit being opened up. And we see this great darkness coming and engulfing the earth. And you see all of these hideous spiritual beings being released from the bottomless pit. And the prophet calls it the oncoming storm. And he says, we have the weathermen who tell us there's Hurricane Katrina and there's Hurricane whatever. He says, God has his spiritual weathermen as well. He has those that he raises up, his prophets, and they warn us of the oncoming storm. That there's coming a howling tempest. There's coming something that's going to destroy us spiritually. And he says, and people need to get to Goshen at those kind of times. You need to take the warning. You need to pay attention. He says in verse 1, Revelation 18, and after these things, it's just Revelation 17, the woman riding the beast. He says, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great power, that's great authority. And the earth was lightened with his glory. The prophet says, that's the message of the hour. Amen. The mighty angel coming down and God shines the light throughout the earth. First of all, verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice. Friends, it's a mighty voice in the message of the hour. If we just get ourselves in a spiritual condition to hear what the Spirit is saying, it's a mighty voice that's crying out. He cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now friends, there's the commercial Babylon. There's the world system of Babylon. Then there's mystery Babylon, which is the religious part. But it's all Babylon. The prophet called America Babylon. In those messages, handwriting on the wall, he types America to Babylon. And the last thing America is going to do, you know what they're going to do? They're going to play around with the holy vessels. And that's what they're starting now with the laws they've passed. They're going to touch that which is precious in the eyes of the Lord, his people. And that was the last thing that Belshazzar did in Babylon. And then the handwriting came and said, Mene, mene, tekel ufasin. You weighed, numbered in the balance. Your kingdom is taken from you. And the prophet says, that's the day we're living in. We're living in the days of Babylon. And then this mystery Babylon the Great, which is Rome, and how it's conquered the denominations now in the World Council of Churches. And the prophet spoke to us of all those things. So it says, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a habitation of devils. So friends, if you and I go into this Babylon that surrounds this commercial Babylon, go to Hollywood, you know what the Bible's telling us? It's a habitation of devils. If we go to Disney, I'll show you tomorrow. Walt Disney was a 33rd degree Freemason. Walt Disney was a personal friend of Anton LaVey, the first high priest of the Church of Satan. He was a personal friend. And there's so much in Disney and the things they show, which is of exactly this realm. It's of this realm of darkness. I'll show you tomorrow. It's a scary thing, friends. But they come and they dress it up so nice. They dress it up in such an outward beauty that if you and I aren't careful, we'll think there's nothing wrong with these things. But the spirit behind it is the spirit of Babylon. That's the spirit of the gods of Egypt. And friends, we'll bow ourselves down to those things, and we've got to be careful. Because the call is, have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather reprove them. Cry out against them. But sometimes they've got a mask. The prophet is an actor. A hypocrite means an actor. He says it's someone that puts on a mask. But I'm so glad there was a prophet who came and took off the mask and showed us beyond the veil and said, don't be enticed by these things. Just as much as John, when he saw that great woman in Revelation 17, he was amazed. He said he wondered with great amazement. And then that angel that was showing him these things, who's the prophet, John typing the bride, says, hey, my friend, let me show you what this really is like. Let's move to Revelation 18. I'll show you. She looks so beautiful on the outside, but let's see what she is spiritually. She's a cage of every unclean and hateful devil. That's what was happening behind the scenes. That's what he says, Babylon is fallen. It's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So if you and I could see in the spiritual realm of music in this age, amen, and really go and look, let's look at the life of Beyoncé. She may speak all of her Christian terms, but she's openly a Satanist, that girl. She's given her soul to the prince of darkness. And she may be so beautiful on the outside, but behind the veil, when you go and study her, who she is and what she says, there's darkness. There's darkness. And we go and bow down to these gods of Egypt. Friends, we should never, as believers, have communion with the unfruitful deeds of darkness. We either have communion with light, we have communion with darkness. God says, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. We need to make our mind up, which kingdom are we of? Which dimension are we striving to dwell in? This dimension of Egypt or this which was opened up in Goshen? Because very soon, friends, he's executing judgment upon the other one. And that's why he opens this one to usher his people into communion with himself, which is God's provided way for his people. Verse 3 tells us the effects of this Babylon. It says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All nations. The prophet says, Elvis Presley, you go to the back parts of Mozambique, 1965. He says, you'll find those colored people with Elvis Presley listening and dancing that kind of a dance. He says, it's overspread the earth with its filthiness. And there's Elvis Presley singing his nice Christian songs as well. And the prophet says, there's a modern day Judas Iscariot. He's a modern-day Judas Iscariot. And the Beatles, the prophet called them demons. And that was the right name for them. They were demons in flesh. Demons in flesh. And all that came from them, friends, was inspired from the realm of darkness. All of their music, all of this these films from Hollywood and so forth. Friends, the source of those things is the infernal realm of darkness. These things come from the regions of the lost. And if you yield yourself to them and have communion with them, they'll take you back to the place that they came from when God comes to execute judgment. It says, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This whole system we live in this age, that's what it is. And I heard another voice from heaven, this is the Lamb himself, saying, come out of her, my people. That you be not partaker of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven. Whenever he comes down, it's because the sins have reached up to heaven. There's another dimension of sin, friends. There's a certain realm of sin that this world has broken into. And God has remembered her iniquities. And he's going to reward her and so forth. It's a serious thing. And look what it says further on. Let's read 21 and 22. It says, and the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea. And the prophet said to Peregrine, you see the two Babylons. This is Los Angeles, being cast into the sea, the prophet told him. One's burnt with fire, which is Rome in the end, in charge of all these ungodly systems. The second one is destroyed, cast into the sea, a great millstone cast into the sea. Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers, the musicians, and the musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters. We could put our names there, friends. We could go and put all of these modern musicians there, in there. God stored them up in His Word, and He's told us what He thinks about these things. Shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman, or whatever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more in thee. 23, we'll finish with that. And the light of a candle shall shine no more. The prophet says you can't shine a candle underwater. That's where it's going to end up. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. There's not one person in the message there. Not one. There's no voice of the bridegroom or the bride there. There's no voice of the bride in that place. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Great men of the earth, but in the kingdom, we know what they are. These are the instruments, the vessels of wrath that God has reserved unto destruction. Because they yielded themselves and gave themselves over to the darkness of this day. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. We'll see it tomorrow. The whole of Hollywood is based on sorcery. And that's how you find Walt Disney, everything's magicians. It's magic. Yeah? It's wizards. And all these things. Harry Potter. Mickey Mouse as a wizard. All of the things from Disney, it's magic. They call it the magic kingdom. It's sorceries, friends. It's built on the occult. It's built on sorcery. But they dress it up in such a nice way. If they showed us a real ugly witch, or they show you Anton Zandor-Levay, I'll show you his picture tomorrow, and you see a real Satanist, you'll be scared of him. But when they dress Mickey Mouse up like that and do the same things through Mickey Mouse that this man's doing, we accept it. We say it's only Mickey Mouse. But when Mickey Mouse is teaching our children witchcraft, when he's teaching our children magic, when he's teaching our children the mysteries of the kingdom of darkness, but it's done in such a deceiving way, we don't even think there's anything wrong with it. Until the prophet comes and warns us of it. Until the prophet comes and says, be careful. Be careful. Listen what the prophet says in Message Influence, 1963, Shreveport. Our markets are loaded with vulgarity and filth. Friends, this is 1963. It was nothing then compared to now. It was nothing compared to what we have today. He says, vulgarity and filth to poison the minds of our young children. That word sorcery in the Bible, the literal meaning is poisoning. Sorcery, witchcraft, poisoning. That's what it is. They poison. These things, Satan has raised up this instrument of hell called Hollywood. He's raised up these instruments of hell, these musicians. They are so deeply involved in the occult themselves. They become mediums to that realm. They sometimes are so possessed, they don't even know what they're doing. And friends, we allow our children, and we ourselves many times, we put those DVDs on and we allow our children to watch those things. And we don't realize, like the prophet says, they're poisoning the minds of our young children. Because this is sorcery. This is the occult, but it's being brought in such a cunning way to deceive the whole world. To bring it to its final climax of lawlessness, the prophet says. He says, to poison the minds of our young children. And then we lay the fault on them, on our children. When I think many times it belongs to us Christian people, who will not stand up for the things that's right. Amen. And in our homes, we let loose. Yes, yes. And we permit all these vulgarities and things to come into our home to influence our children. Amen. Friends, the blood has to stay on the door. We can't allow these things past the blood. The blood must be there. God has given us a refuge. He's given us the life of the Lamb. He's given us the token in our age. But we've got to apply it on the door. There's got to be a difference in what's in our home beyond the blood and what's in the homes of Egypt. Because God's not going to judge them just because they're Egyptians. God's going to judge them because of what they're doing and what they're communing with in their homes. So if we commune with the same things, The judgment will be executed against the gods of Egypt, the idols of Egypt. So we need to be careful, friends, what we're bowing ourselves down to in adoration and fellowship and communion. Because it's not physical idols of stone anymore that people worship. It's Beyoncé and Tom Cruise and Keanu Reeves, each of them who was so involved in the occult. You'll see them always with their symbols, yeah? Always with the covering of the wine, all occult symbols. And they're open about it, friends, every single one of them. Because you cannot prosper in Hollywood unless you're involved in those things. You cannot. You cannot. And friends, I researched it this week until it scared me. I told Gitana, I said, I got so much researching the foundation of Hollywood and how things have got to where it is, because I wondered, why did the prophet always cry out against Hollywood? And I said, what is this mystery of Hollywood? Hollywood, Holly, the name they chose when they made that place. Holly is what is used to make the staves of witches. It's Hollywood. That's what they use to make those magic wands. That's why they called it Hollywood. And the main thing which those holy wands were used was to put people to sleep. To put people to sleep. And Hollywood comes and you sit in front of those screens and your brain disengages. And they preach the occult to you. They preach darkness to you. They preach all this Illuminati stuff and stuff to you. All this symbolism. I said to Gitan in the car, I have the picture, I'll show it tomorrow. Scrooge McDuck. There's a lot of it you'll find on there, friends. It's scary. I even watched the clip of the film, of the cartoon. And there's Scrooge McDuck, and he goes to the doctor's surgery. And if you stop the frame, there's the doctor's eye chart behind. Imagine in a cartoon with the big letter at the top going, you know what it says? Ask the Illuminati. And that's not just once. You'll find it over and over and over again. They hide these symbols in the cartoons. And they use all of this witchcraft and this wizardry. And the prophet says, it's sorcery. He says, it's poisoning the minds of our children. He said, be careful of these things. Make sure the blood is on the door. The prophet says, and in a shame, he just came back from Africa. He says, way back in the jungles of Africa, safari hunters, they take high-powered radios to hear Elvis Presley, Pat Boone, and them guys with that rock and roll and twist. You see, it's a spirit. And the spirit is not only in America. It has spread itself out throughout the world to bring them to the battle of Armageddon. They act like that. Whenever nation they come from, Africa, India, wherever it is, that vulgarity and stuff is spread all over the earth just by one man starting it. Satan has his evangelists, friends. Satan has his prophets, and he indwells his prophets. And they spread forth his darkness and overtake the world. The prophet says, so has God got his one man. Amen. Satan has his one man and God sent his one man. A one man answer to all that Satan was doing in this age. That's how the prophet says this message. You're not here by chance, he said. You're not here by accident. Because you're the sons and daughters of God. That's why we're here today. He says, so has the gospel and power of Almighty God. It's spread around the world. And the separation time is now taking place. When God is calling his bride and the devil's calling his church. Ah, friends, it's a deep thing when you get into it. It's a sobering thing when you look at it. The symbolism, you don't realize it. You don't realize that everything is soaked with the occult. Soaked with this agenda which they've got. And you wonder why in a few short years, just 10 years ago, the vast majority of people wouldn't accept same-sex marriage. But now the vast majority does. What caused that change? What brought that influence? Hollywood. Hollywood, Disney. All those things, they brought that influence. But they brought it in with such seduction. They don't bring the ugly people. The ugly people are the Christians in the films. We're the bigots and the fools when we portrayed. That the people that are the prophets of this iniquity of this current age, they're the beautiful people of the earth. The Angela Jolie. Such a demon-possessed girl, if you read about her. And how much she loves blood and all the things that she openly admits that she loves. And Tom Cruise of this Church of Scientology. That's where he's from, a demon-possessed man. And Keanu Reeves, a man who says, I'm so full of other spirits. He says, sometimes I don't even know who I am. He says, I just wish I could find out who I am. Because friends, for you to inherit the kingdoms of this earth and the glory of these kingdoms, you've got to bow down and worship. Because that's what Satan said to Jesus. All these things belong to me. And if you want these kingdoms, if you want the glory, you've got to bow down to me. So when you see these people inheriting the glory of the kingdoms of the earth, becoming the great men in these realms, how did they get it? If it belongs to Satan, how did they get it? Ask yourself that. They didn't get it through God, friends. They didn't get it through seeking the kingdom of God. They got it by selling their souls to the powers of darkness. And so many of them admit to that. Some of those actors, I can't remember which one it was, I think Johnny Depp, he says, I got down on my knees. He says, and I spoke to the spirits. Because people had told me that if I'll sell him my soul, he'll give me power and fame on this earth. And that's how they get the anointing. That's how they get the unction to become superstars, to attract attention so that multitudes adore them. It's a spirit, friends, that's upon those people. They've submitted themselves to the spirit of darkness. They've given themselves over as vessels of dishonor. But in that age, God says, I can't leave my children like that. He himself comes down. I have come down because I've heard the cry of Sodom. And he sends his vessel, a prophet who can break through into the fourth dimension, that realm. And he tells us what's taking place in there. And he comes and unmasks the whole plan. The strategy of the evil one. That's what he does to us. It's the grace of God. Not going to take much longer. He says, so has the gospel and power of Almighty God spread around the world. God is calling a bride. The devil's calling a church. Let me be part of the bride. So friends, the opening of the seals when it came, you and I don't realize spiritually the importance of that. That unveiling in 1963. We don't understand, you know, ourselves, the epic something that took place spiritually at that time. Now Ulrich Andres, I've read this before, when he sings that song, he says, when I see all hell extending her borders to swallow up humanity, I thank the one with the keys of death and hell, who has opened the prison door for me. He has changed my course from the regions of the lost, that realm of insanity, by anointing my eyes with a heavenly vision to behold and live eternally. Ah, friends, the man had an inspiration, I tell you. Friends, the man had an inspiration. Hell has been poured forth. So God opens the seals. And God comes and anoints our eyes with a heavenly vision, so we can see who he is and who we are in his program and his purpose. And friends, he wants us to commune around those things. That's what we call to commune around. Oh, judgment on the gods of Egypt. I'll just finish off with a few quotes on plagues. We'll continue tomorrow. Five junctions of time, 1956. It says, there stood Jannes and Jambres when Moses threw down and performed a miracle of God. So when the God sent the prophet and God vindicated his prophet, something took place in the kingdom of light. God unveiled and expressed something. Satan wasn't going to leave it like that. So Jannes and Jambres come forth as well. Then the prophet says, and Moses called for plagues, and they called for plagues. He says, what are plagues? The devils let loose. Friends, when you see these plagues, AIDS, and we see this Ebola, and we see all these plagues, and the final plague, the prophet says, insanity striking the earth. Insanity, friends. It's insane, the things which are taking place. The prophet says, it's devils let loose. So when the devils are let loose, if I knew in my neighborhood, if you knew in your neighborhood, there were pedophiles or there were murderers let loose, would you just allow your children to go and play in the street? My friend, you'd be very careful in an age like that, a time like that, if something had been let loose, which can be perilous to your family. And that's how God gives us a token. He gives us the blood. And we've got to keep the blood between us and those things. This is an invisible union. The complete, total insanity this world will go into right away. This is November 65. It's almost there now. Why, you can see the footsteps of it. Marching right out on the street. Right down the church pews. Total insanity. To do things that a human being wouldn't think of doing being civilized. Friends, just compare with 100 years ago. Something moved society from where it was 100 years ago. Where the people had a respect for God, respect for ministers of the gospel, respect for the Bible. Yes, you had some sin, but society respected Christianity. In 100 years, something has totally transformed society to an insanity now, where they allow things openly, they legislate things openly that 100 years ago were insanity. We're literally in the law books class as insanity. But because the frog is in the pot and it's boiling up slowly, and because Hollywood's influence is slow, and the music, it influences you without you realizing it, you start accepting things you wouldn't have accepted before. Unless God gives you an absolute. Unless God ties you to Himself as the absolute. And then it doesn't matter how things change there. That's the other side of the blood. This side of the blood, things ain't going to change. Things are not going to change. Because the token keeps us in our right mind. When the world is going into insanity, God has opened a dimension to us of the mind of Christ. When they've lost their mind, we have the mind of Christ. That's what the message came for, friends. And that's the power of this communion that God has given into our hands in this age. If we'll just use it for the reason that He gave it to us. The unveiled message of the hour. The prophet says, wouldn't think of doing, being civilized. Then he says, next paragraph, look at what Hollywood has done to the woman. Look at what Hollywood has done to the woman. Amen. Women are completely out of their place in this age. God never wanted a woman to be the way she is now out there. Friends, let's not emulate them. Let our sisters not look at the way the women of the world do their things in their realm of insanity, in their realm of darkness, being influenced by the gods of Egypt. Let's not be influenced by those things, friends. And us as men, let's not take after them. The prophet says, this gross darkness that's upon these people. It says, good people many times putting on purple velvet shoes, he says. Men. Yeah. These women's fashions that men are wearing. Men are becoming more feminine. And women are becoming more masculine. The prophet says, it's a gross darkness that's pressing them down. It's a gross darkness. It's been released from somewhere. And that's why whenever the world gets to this place, heaven responds. The pillar of fire comes down. God opens a realm to minister His people to Goshen. And the prophet says, you better get to Goshen while there's time. You don't want to get caught out of Goshen when His final, like the one man said, he says, God looks down and He's long-suffering. This is, but finally He brings down that gavel as a judge and He says, judgment. And then when He says judgment, it's judgment. And you and I want to just find ourselves in the Rock of Ages at that time. And fellowship and commune with Him. And knoweth it not, the prophet says, watch. He says, look at the woman of our day. Little girls from 20, 25 years old in menopause. He says, look at the change even in the natural woman. Friends, look at the beauty of woman now. Look at the seductive beauty of woman now. And especially, it says, like Max Factor and all these things. Look how they've perfected the beauty of woman. And used to be Paris, but now it's America and all these places that have perfected the form of the woman through fashion. Or the lack thereof, if you want to say that. Clothes or the lack thereof. Never used to be allowed, friends. He says, what is it? Through science. The food, the hybrids, amen, perverting the whole human body, amen, until we become a bunch of a mass of corruption. Yes. Somebody, like he says, the boxers used to box with bare fists. Yes. And you wouldn't have 15 rounds. You'd box each other until one would knock the other guy out. Hardly anyone ever died. He says, now they put the feather bags, he calls it, you know, the gloves on their hands. And he says, and they punch one another and they kill each other. He says, the human body, something's changed. He said, it's this hybridization. Amen. It's breaking it down, this genetically modified food and all of this. Men are becoming, like they say, narrow in the hips, and women are becoming broader in the hips. And the prophet says, if it's affecting us naturally, what about spiritually, he says? He says, watch the spirit following it. There'll come a time in the name of the Lord that people will go completely insane. We're living in that time. We're living in that time. We don't have to look forward to that time. We're living in that time. Anybody who's been washed by the waters of the word will see we're living in that time. It's insanity what's taken place. It's insanity. The music is insane. The films are insane. The Matrix and those kind of, it's insanity. Yes. They've broken into another dimension of insanity. It's insanity. And if you go and find out where they got the inspiration for those kind of things, trace it back. They openly admit they go to seances and spiritualism and that to get the inspiration for these things. And then, friends, we sit and watch them. Things that came straight from hell, inspired straight from hell. And we sit and allow those things to entertain us. Allow those things to influence us or our children. I think it's a checking up time, friends. I really believe it's a checking up time. The prophet says the world, people will go completely insane. The Bible said so. They'll scream and holler. Revelations 8. Great hideous things in their imaginary minds. He says the radios and things or television programs are producing it. So he's telling us the television programs can produce insanity. So where is the realm where these television programs are getting their power and anointing and revelation and inspiration from? It's a realm of insanity. It's the regions of the lost. And that's being channeled through. And they've got their vessels and their prophets and their mediums, who we call actors and musicians. And they channel those demon powers of insanity straight to the audiences who worship them and bow down. And people will be doing the symbols as well. Satanic symbol. And you go into Disney and I'll show you in the cartoons how many times you see that in the cartoons. But it's hidden in all the different places in the cartoons. Because they have an agenda. Because the man who started Disney himself was in the occult. And he knew the way to evangelize what I believe isn't to come out openly and say that I'm a Satanist. That he was a pedophile as well. So what he did, he was gifted with art. So he dresses it up. He dresses it up so innocent. But the spirit behind it is poison. And the prophet says it's poisoning the minds of our children. I'll close with this one here. And from just one more time, the prophet says, you fathers and mothers, are you ready to establish an altar in your homes?
Amen.
He says, and take that television out. Now it's not the television, now it's YouTube.
Yes.
It's the internet. Yes. Doesn't mean we stop the whole internet, but we need to be careful, friends.
Yes.
A lot of the stuff we shouldn't allow them to watch.
Amen.
A lot of the stuff, it's nothing but the occult dressed up as cartoons.
Amen.
It is. It's a mask.
Amen.
They don't show the poison behind it all until you unveil it and say, but my word, is this where it came from? The prophet says, them comic books that your children are reading, preparing their little minds for the blast that the devil's going to give them. Hey, so there's a conditioning process. He wants to start with the children and the young, get them used to these kind of things. Used to magic, get used to magicians, get used to all these kind of things. And we say, but it's harmless, it's just cartoons. The prophet says, them comic books, preparing the minds of your children for that blast of the devil. Friends, the devil knows what he's doing. He knows how to train up a child. Yeah? Just as much as the scripture says that we should. He knows exactly what he's doing. That's why the prophet says, you know, the scripture said in closing, in Exodus chapter 12, it said it was a lamb for a house. It wasn't a lamb just for the dad. Not just a lamb for the mother, it was a lamb for the house. And the prophet says, you see, he says, oh, a home. If we made home more lovely, our children wouldn't want to run away. Make them more for them where they feel welcome and nice and comfortable at home. Home where they can hardly wait until they get there. That's the way that home should be. That's when the token's on display. Friends, where it's a wholesome atmosphere. Where there's the spirit of grace, the spirit of the token himself in the home. It's the greatest defense that you can give to your children. It says, the last sign we took last night was death. And we found it was spiritual death in the church. The last plague. The church drying up. Blowing away. That's right. We're living in a horrible time. How the church, the old timers that used to really have the victory, is losing out, dying time. Letting the blood get off the front door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Friends, I think it's good for us to visit those things once in a while. Just to make sure that the blood is fresh. That the blood is doing the job, that God by His grace ministered it to us through the revelation of the prophet of the Exodus in this age. Because Moses ministered the revelation of the blood to them. And they went and took the lamb and stored it up 14 days and shed the blood, took the hyssop and applied it to their homes. That was the revelation of their message. We need to be doing the same thing. Amen. The prophet says, the sacrificial lamb has been killed. We now take his body while we're safe under the blood. That's what we want to do. We want to come and partake of his body, partake of the word, partake of the bread while we're safely under the blood. Israel in Goshen, they were safely under the blood and they were eating the lamb. They were taking the communion when they knew the blood is on display. Doesn't matter the howling of the tempest out there. Doesn't matter the death angel prowling the street out there. But in here, we're having fellowship and communion with the Lamb. That's what you want to have, friends. He says, taking his body under the blood, waiting for the midnight hour to come when the march out is called. We're going out some of these nights to the promised land. We're girded, we're shod with the gospel of peace. The full armor of the gospel going forward. Help us, dear God, to buckle up tight tonight, to examine the post and the lintel to see if the blood's still there. And let's do that, friends, as we come to communion this evening. These are but symbols. These are but symbols of the great things that God has done for us. He's given us the blood, the token. We're going to drink of the wine today, speaking of his blood. And friends, what is the token? It was a life that was in his blood. We can partake in a symbol tonight. What about the bread? It's his body. It's the body word of the Son of Man. It's the hidden manna. It's the Shekinah bread for this age that God has granted us grace. He's broken it unto us in this age. And this is the Exodus food. This is the food that prepares us for the Exodus. This is the food that keeps us until the marching time comes at midnight. And I didn't have time. We'll get on to tomorrow. But the prophet says, and in our fellowship and communion with one another, let's keep it like that. Amen. Let's keep it that it does something. That the life of the Lamb is on display in the fellowship that we have. That it keeps us girded. It keeps us ready. It keeps us under expectation as we wait for the midnight hour. May God help us. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to communion. We'll continue by God's grace tomorrow. Is that Sister Mummy? Sister, God bless you, sister. I didn't see you at first. Sorry, God bless you, sister. So nice to see you as well. Let's sing that song. Would you have one, Brother Joe? Let's sing, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen, brother. Let's sing it as we come to communion.
Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sin and paid all his dues. Sprinkle your soul in the blood of the Lamb, and I'll pass, will pass. Fountain open for sin, and I'll find. will pass over you.
Divine. Oh, I will be his part.
get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. This path has many trials, many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh,
to walk in this path. Of our beloved one coming to meet us.
Oh, I will
walk this path. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I desire that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Let's open Matthew chapter 26 as we come to communion. Let's read from verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Amen.
Let's pray for the bread and the wine. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your bread that you've given unto us. Surely, Jesus, you are the bread that has come down from heaven. Lord, we thank you that the bread was broken so that the blood could be shed. And we thank you, Lord, that the life came out of the blood. And Jesus, where would we be outside of your blood? Outside of, Lord, the Spirit, Lord, of the token in this age. We thank you for your grace. Father, how we just want to hide ourselves under the blood once again. Even as we partake in type, Lord, of these symbols, Lord. Father, even as you commanded us, Lord, to remember your death as oft as we do it until your return. Father, bless your people, we pray. Sanctify the bread. Hallelujah. Bless the wine. Father, may it minister strength to us, Lord. May it do something to us, Lord, to continue to quicken us. In this exodus, Lord, we ask and pray as you wait for the midnight hour. As you wait, Lord, for the marching orders to come forth. Keep us, we pray, Lord. Father, we think of them not here this evening. Bless them, watch over them, be with them wherever they are. Bless your people this night, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Let's just take a minute or two, saints, just to search ourselves. Just before the Lord, if there's anything which the Lord speaks to you, make it right in your heart. And if it's something that needs more than that, just say to him, "Lord, I'll make it right when I leave this place. and keep your vow, God will be watching after that. Let's just take a minute just to wait upon the Lord. Oh, Father, just giving ourselves to Thee, Lord, at this time, Lord. Such my Lord, and ask and pray, and forgive me, Lord Jesus, for anything, Lord, that is displeasing unto Thee, Lord, and pray. Forgive me, Father, Lord, just for anything, Lord, that you give me, Lord, for partaking of this bread and this wine, Lord, and ask, Lord, even upon this day. So I want to worship Thee, to praise Thee, to bring myself before Thee, to glorify Thy name upon this day. Bless us, Lord. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Oh, hallelujah.
I bless. I give you all.
I give you praise.
You are the light.
You are the light.
The truth, the way.
The truth, the way.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name.
I give you honor.
I give you praise.
You are
the truth, the way.
The truth and the way.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. Bless your name,
hallelujah.
I bless your name.
Oh,
I give you
honor. I give you honor.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
You are the light.
You are
the truth, the way.
The truth, the way.
Bless your name. The truth, the way.
The truth, the way.
I bless your name.
Oh,
I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard. Reach out by faith to heights unknown. I bless your name. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. The truth away.
The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet to me. Melchizedek came in flesh, revealed in the Son of Man. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. God, who at sundry times spake to us by his word, in the seventh age manifesting himself in an elected bride. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Gentile bride, you're not alone. Oh, Gentile bride, you've been shown. Only the predestinated are considered redemption. You may think you are, but do you have representation? Redeemed is to bring back to its authentic place. Only the predestinated will be brought back to this day. I'm under construction, being changed for a heavenly place. After Abram won the victory, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Gentile bride, you're not alone. Oh, you're not bride, you've been shown. He's King of righteousness, he's King of kings, came in flesh, a bride to seek. King Theophany Jesus, he's King of kings. Do you believe in the Son of Man? after Abram won the victory. Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. When these earthly bodies cease to be, take communion at the wedding supper. For the bride to reign, she must suffer. Be not bride, you be sure. Gentile bride, you're not alone.
Amen. Let's open the book of John, saints. Let's come to foot washing. After he served them supper, he washed their feet. Let's read John chapter 13. Let's read it from verse 1 this time. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, amen, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself.
Amen.
After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew which should betray him. Therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So we're happy to do it this evening, saints. Let's have the sisters on this side, brothers on this side. May God bless us as we wash one another's feet.
Thank you.
battle from the Lord on our side. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan reaches, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Somebody had asked a very good question a while back. Just saying, at the end of service, we have leftover bread. They said, where they go, they didn't used to give the bread out, it would be burnt. You know, so I thought of it, I said, that's true in some ways, because, you know, the lamb, anything that was left over of the lamb had to be burnt if you couldn't eat it. So I actually asked Brother George Martin, I was speaking to him a while back, he phoned me, and I said, Brother George, we give out the bread at the end of the service. Is there anything wrong with that? Then he says, no, bro. He says, you only burn the bread if there's too much, if people can't eat it. He says, which is better, to burn the bread or to let the saints eat it at the end of the service? So I said, no, it's true. I'm glad that we always did that. You know, so I just really wanted to expand it, because some people did ask that, to say, you know, some places they don't give out the bread, but it's better the bread goes home having done something for the saints than it goes to the place where you burn it. But if you have a massive church maybe, and you've got loaves and loaves of bread at the end and people can't finish them, anything left over, you must burn it. That's the way that it goes. Let's sing one more song before we dismiss.
The blood of Jesus shed for me, lay back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, shall never lose its power.
And it reaches
to the highest mountain,
and it goes
close to the highest mountain. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it shall never lose.
Oh, and it reaches, and it reaches,
and it reaches to the highest mountain,
and it flows, and it flows
to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it shall never lose
its power. With the blood of
Jesus. Oh, the blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it shall never lose its power.
Oh, when it reaches
to the highest mountain,
and it flows
to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it shall never lose.
Oh, when it reaches
to the highest mountain,
and it flows
to the lowest valley.
Oh, the blood
that gives you strength from day to day, it shall never lose its power.
Oh, it soothes my fears.
Oh, it soothes my doubts and calms my fears. And it drives over.
from day to day, it shall never
grow, and it reaches, and it reaches to the highest
mountain,
and it flows, and it flows
to the lowest valley,
and it goes
the blood that gives me strength from day.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Good singing. One of them.
One of them.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say
I'm one of them.
One of them.
One of them.
One of them.
I am one of
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
There are people almost everywhere.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost,
but
cleansed them, made them clean.
It is
burning now,
burning with the fire of glory. Glory, glory!
I'm so glad that I can say I'm
one of them.
We are one of them.
One of them.
Hallelujah!
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah! These people may not live
to boast of worldly fame. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now for far and wide how it's been the same. I'm so glad that I can see
one of them,
one of them,
hallelujah,
one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them,
one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, they were gathered in the upper room, praying in His name.
They were baptized with the Holy Ghost,
and all the servants came.
Now what He did for them that day, He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say
I am one of them.
One of them.
One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Come, my brothers, seek this blessing
that will cleanse your heart from sin,
that will stop the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame.
It is burning now within my heart,
oh glory to His name.
Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, so glad I'm glad tonight.
One of them,
one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them,
one of them,
one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Won't you know tonight you are one of them,
one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them,
one of them,
one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad I can say
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad I can say tonight
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
that you're one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Saints, I think as we go from this place today, we need to look straight in the eyes of the devil. And every force that is arrayed against you from when you were a believer, he hasn't won now and he's never going to win. There's no weapon that's been formed yet in all of his weapons that's going to overcome you and me as long as we stay under the blood. So we're going to just pledge allegiance to the Lamb. We're going to tell the devil, we pledge allegiance to the Lamb as we go from this place. Let's sing that song.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he suits daily lives. If they were renounced, the name of Christ. One by one, they chose
to die
for the Son of God.
They would never deny,
like a great angelic choir sing. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance
to the Lamb
with all my strength,
with
all I am. I will seek to honor His
command.
I pledge allegiance to. Now the years have come,
oh, have come,
and the years have gone, but the cross of Jesus,
it still
goes on. Now our time has come,
oh, it's come,
to count the cost, to reject this world, and embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life till the trumpet sounds,
whoa,
on the final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb
with
all my strength,
with
all I am. I will
seek
to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to. To the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame, I will sing to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Oh,
I pledge allegiance
to the Lamb
with all my strength,
with all I am.
I seek to honor His command. I pledge I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. Saints, let's bow our heads as we depart. It's been good to be in His house.
Amen.
Let's come back tomorrow.
Amen.
And may the Lord help us. Our friends, it's a serious hour.
Amen.
But how good that He's been to us.
Amen.
Let's just yield to Him. Let's just submit ourselves and say, Lord, Father, glorify Your name. Let Your will be done. We just ask Brother Max Jr. if you'd pray for us, please, as we dismiss. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord. The sparrow hears.
Yes, Lord.
Our dear Heavenly Father.
Yes.
What a sweet night, O Lord God.
Amen, Lord.
Father, we just thank You, Lord God. We bless Your name, O Father.
Hallelujah.
That in this evil age, O Father, we find ourselves to be so privileged people,
yes,
O Father.
Lord. Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank You, Lord, that unto us, O Lord, our eyes have been opened, O Father,
yes,
Lord,
Lord
God.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank You, Father, that we rejoice not for anything but, Lord, but because
Amen.
We know that our names, O Father, Lord, are written in that book, Lamb of
yes,
Life,
Lord,
Lord
yes,
God.
Lord, yes,
Lord, we just
yes,
bless
Lord.
Your name this night, O Father, Lord God.
Amen.
We
yeah.
thank You for drawing nigh, O Father, Lord God. We
yes.
thank You for using Yourself unto, Lord God,
yes, Lord.
For showing us, O Lord, the realm of this world, the Lord,
Amen.
The evil that be, O Father, Lord God.
Amen.
We thank You, Lord, Father, for this age, O Lord God. The prophet that You sent unto us, O Lord God. Your angel, Lord, Father, vindicated with a pillar of fire, Lord. O Lord, Father, to lead us into the truth, O Father, Lord God. To bring us out, to help the Father of this, O Father, Egypt, O Lord, into that promised land, O Lord God. Father, we bless Your name, O Father. Lord, we give You the honor, Lord. We thank You for Your servants, O Lord, that You've placed, O Father, for Your church, O Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Using
yes,
them
Lord.
Faithfully, O Lord God.
Amen.
Anointed,
yes.
Lord, with the non-adulterated
yes.
word of life, O Lord
Hallelujah.
God. O bringing to us, O Lord God, all
yes.
the bread of life,
yes.
O Lord God.
Yes.
O preparing
yes.
us, O Father, Lord,
yes.
for that great day that is to come, O Lord.
Amen.
That we will take that flight, O Lord God,
yes.
and meet You up there in the air, O Father, Lord.
Or
where we will commune, O Father, Lord. O forever,
yes.
O God. O where we will have, O Lord God. O
Amen.
Forever, Lord God,
Amen.
A youth
Amen.
Meeting,
Amen.
O Father, Lord.
Yes.
That will never end, O Lord God.
Yes.
O Father, we bless Your name, O Father.
Jesus.
We thank You this day, O Father, Lord, for Lord God being faithful to us, O Lord. Always coming down, O Lord, Father, O God. O blessing us and granting us, O Lord God. A sweet hour, Lord, Father, with Thee, O Lord. We bless Your name, O Father. We bless Your name for the music, O Lord God. We thank You for Your grace, O Lord. For it's not by our minds, O Lord, Father. Neither by our strength, O Lord. But it's just by Your grace, O Lord. We see the moving, O Father, Lord, of the Holy Ghost, O Father, O God. And we just pray, O Father, Lord, that You continue to move in our midst, O Lord, till we may reach, O Father, Lord God, to that point, O Lord, Father, of that Pentecost day, O Father, Lord, in that upper room, O Father, Lord God, that we may feel that wind, O Lord, come and blow, O Father, in our midst, O Father, Lord, that we may feel the presence of the Holy Ghost, O Lord, O Father, upon Your people, Lord, for this is Your promise, O Lord, is to take us back, O Father, Lord, O Lord, Father, to our fathers, O Lord, and we want to go, O Father, Lord, we yield ourselves unto Thee, Lord, we give You our hearts, O Lord,
yes.
our soul, our mind, O Lord. We surrender it all unto You, Father. Have Your way, O God. May our way, Lord, Father, be done away with, O Lord. And Your way be done, O Father, Lord. That Your name might be glorified, O Lord. We thank You for tonight, O Lord. Father, we part not from Your presence this night, O Lord. But we go, O Father, Lord, believing and trusting that You are with us, O Lord. Grant us genuine mercies, O Father, Lord. O Lord, Father, to those who go a long way, O Father. Lord, You be with them, O Lord. Even all the road users are in Your hands, O Father, Lord. Keep them, Lord, Father, safely to their home,
yes,
O Father. Lord, I pray this day, O Father, that as the fire has been kindled, O Lord, tomorrow we come back, O Father, Lord,
yes,
O to face with it, O Father, once
Amen.
Again, O Lord,
Amen.
That you
Amen.
May draw nigh, O Lord,
yes,
and bless
Lord,
your church,
Father,
O Father, Lord,
yes,
that tomorrow we may leave you, O Father, Lord, just as those from the mouth, O Lord, O saying, O Father, Lord God, wasn't it good, O Father, Lord God, O Lord, Father, when the Lord drew nigh unto us, O Lord, we thank You this day, O Father, Lord, we bless Your name, O Father, we give You the honor, Lord, and the praise, O Father, Lord, and the saints, O Father, this day, O Father,
Amen.
Oh, lift
Amen.
Our voice unto Thee,
yeah.
O Father, and
Amen.
Say, Lord, Father, we thank You, Lord,
yes.
and we bless Your name.
Bless
in
Your
other name, O Father, but in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord, we pray this night, O God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen,
amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Let's sing one as we dismiss, Brother George. Thanks, Brother.
Come on.
Come on.
come in, come out. The spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this rock.
You will never thirst again.
Spirit and the bride, see come.
He and the ear.
He that hath an ear, let him hear. What the Spirit says to the church,
never fear, never fear.
Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. The Spirit and the bride, see, come.
Come out.
Come out.
Come out.
Come in.
Come in.
Come out.
Come out.
The Spirit of Elijah
turns us
back. Come and drink of this rock.
You will never thirst
again. The Spirit and the bride say come.
Oh, the God's voice.
God's voice is calling from heaven. Come out of heaven, my people. Be not partakers of her sins have reached heaven. God sees her iniquities. The Spirit and the bride say come.
Come out.
Come out.
Come in.
Come out.
The Spirit and the bride say come. Spirit.